This is Hi-Fi Radio with Wolfgang Klein and Jack Hardim. Toronto's news, today's talk, 640 Toronto.
Friends, it's getting closer to Christmas. I don't know how many shopping days left, but the clock is ticking. Anxiety goes up. There's always Amazon. Boy, is that ever quick. Just remarkable. I had a woodpecker flying around my house, poking holes into my stucco. Sorry, guys, I had to get some ammunition to try to deal with it. I didn't, but I tried. It made me feel better. It was Thanksgiving weekend, and I had my wife go onto Amazon and order me a slingshot. I'm sorry, animal lover's easy. Didn't do anything per se. Dung my stucco more. I tried. So we got a slingshot. It showed up within, I don't know, 22 hours, and it was like $15. I could have the gas alone to go up to Bass Pro, park my car, and walk across that lovely parking lot. It's like almost a wasteland up there. Big, massive park. It's just pure flat wind. And go find myself a slingshot. And couldn't do it for twice that money. So Amazon does work. And this is the season of retail. Incredible. Lots of food inflation still sticky out there. That's going to be a bit of an issue. But the good news is inflation is coming down. Interest rates are lower. I say that, the central banks haven't lowered interest rates, but the bond market certainly has. And that's giving a bid to a lot of interest-sensitive securities. Bonds included look much better. Some of the old dividend aristocrats are looking better. Even big dividend payers are looking a little better. But tech continues to propel. And, of course, changing of guards is what Jack and I are always paying attention to this year. Jack, tell me something. What has really caught your attention the last couple of weeks in terms of rotation? What are you really seeing?
Well, one of the biggest things that we're seeing, you mentioned about the fixed income. That I think, is driving everything, Wolfgang. But you're seeing it across the interest-sensitive stuff. So we own telcos. So you own AT&T. We bought that. We bought Verizon. We haven't seen a move with the banks yet, but a lot of the high yielding stuff, high yielding businesses that have a lot of leverage, are actually performing quite well.
I like
and
how
the other asset class I think that is starting to perform exceptionally well are the small cap U.S. companies.
But what you said to me last week was very, very articulate. You said, Wolf, I see it plain as day that the FANG stocks are not going up. In fact, they're actually giving back. And I'm seeing the small caps kick into gear. Hence, we put a position on into the small cap index as well. But anyways, it is the time of the season where you do see sector rotation. Airlines have been down on the mat. Tough sector to play. And, as you rent an airline seat, do the same with a stock. If you ever dare buy airline stocks, you rent these things. But travel is supposed to kick into gear. Certainly is the season for it. Thanksgiving weekend, I think, in the United States is the busiest travel day. We're blessed to spend some time this evening with one of our analyst, Mr. Matthew Lee. He's a certified financial analyst. He's been with Canaccord since 2018. Prior to the research associate at a Canadian bank. There's only six to pick from, actually five, so wouldn't be too hard to guess which one. But hey, Jack and I used to work at a Canadian bank as well. And we found greener grass on the other side of the fence. Thank you very much for spending some time with us, Matt. Good evening, and welcome to the weekend, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start off. You cover aerospace, airlines, some diversified financials and industrials. Let's start off with the airlines. We were actually out with a good friend of ours from TD a couple days ago, Vitaly, who's been on this show before. He's head of research over at TD, and it's nice to speak to the competition, get their ideas. But he thinks perhaps Air Canada could be a little interesting. Puddle jump? Yeah, a little puddle jump. What do you think at these levels? Is it worthy of flirting with?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's a name that it does oscillate when things go up and down, right? So, you know, any worry about passenger demand, any worry about fuel costs, that's going to hurt the stock, and it has over the last couple of months. But, you know, the reverse is also true. So when you start seeing strength in terms of the consumer, you know, demand for flying into the summer, you start seeing fuel costs coming down as they have been in the last couple of weeks, you know, that's going to be a boon. So, you know, even at, you know, the $19 range where it's kind of hitting right now, I mean, not as cheap as it was last week, but certainly definitely something to look at.
Mm-hmm. You know what name I am interested in? It's just a little small for my comfort level because I tend to buy companies with a market valuation of north of $5 billion, which, believe it or not, is not very big. In fact, in the United States, it's called a small cap, still at $5 billion. And here at home, it's hard to find companies over that level, believe it or not. But Cargojet, they're a last-minute air freight transporting company. I watched them go public, good golly, 20 years ago. I met management, focused management team back then. I'm not sure if it's the same individual who actually founded the company, took it public, is still with the firm. You would know that. But stock came under a lot of pressure for the last 3 years. COVID obviously hurt it immensely. Technically, it looks like it's found a bit of a floor and is turning higher. What are your views on Cargojet? How do you feel about it? How's the math looking to you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a name that has a monopoly in e-commerce in Canada, right? So it's not last-minute delivery necessarily. It's next day. So you think about all those Amazon packages and the demand from consumers. You kind of mentioned it, right?
Yeah.
You know, everyone wants to get their package as soon as possible, and Amazon is committed to doing that. You know, within the Canadian market, that's 100% going to be Cargojet's volume. So you think about the growth of that type of e-commerce story over the long term, right? I mean, yes, it did a very, very nice job during COVID. It got a huge bump. It's back down now. You know, valuation looks very reasonable at these points. And to me, this is one of those things you can kind of own and forget in a lot of ways because, you know, e-commerce isn't going away, right? The demand for e-commerce is going to continue to be strong. It was actually a name that we highlighted in a report a couple of weeks ago as, you know, if there's any weakness going into tax loss selling season, I'd be picking this up. And, you know, so far it's been a good trade.
That is a season, a tax loss week. Stocks get weaker. You know, people booked a lot of gains, perhaps in NVIDIA and FANG type names. Booked a lot of gains, you may want to offset them with some losses. And therefore, the names that are down since you purchased them, likely down on the year, tend to come under further pressure for the next few weeks anyways. Exchange Income Fund, that's a little tuck-in stock that we also own in our portfolio. I've held it for a number of years, Matt. I met management back at our Boston conference. I had a one-on-one with management again about a year and a half ago in our offices. Exchange Income Fund is just a diversified industrial friends, if you haven't heard about it. They have an airline business that's basically a medevac business. They have a construction business. They have a surveillance business. They get lots of government revenue. Very, very interesting company. It's quite unknown, which I also like about it. And the stock was working so well for so long, but then I bought a little more of it and knocked it down. Single-handedly took it lower. And this name I did not cut. Often I will cut my losses, move on, take a tax loss, move on, but I'm not actually down on the trade. We're even on the trade. So I couldn't use the tax loss excuse as another reason to sell, so I did hang on to it. But technically, Matt, Exchange Income Fund looks better. You know, it found a bottom and a bit of base and turning the corner. How do you feel about the name? Because, again, it's just been a good return on equity, balance sheet focused, growth oriented industrial company. Has anything really changed with the story on Exchange?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you think about Exchange, the word that comes to mind is diversification, to your point, right? I mean, they have enough types of businesses within their kind of conglomerate, let's say, to weather any type of storm, right? I mean, so many of their businesses are stable. Their government contracts, to your point, you know, they win a lot of different flying contracts and, you know, places in Canada that other people can't fly. And so for that point, I mean, you know, looking to 2024, even the guidance they gave looks conservative. So, you know, this is a name that has got a 6% dividend yield right now. The cash flows are exceptional. You know, they continue to develop the revenue growth story. I like it here. I think, you know, they're down 10% on the year, but, you know, this is not one of those names where you're at any risk really of seeing significant, you know, cash flow reductions. You know, the management's very smart about managing their capital, you know, investing for good return on equity, and the like. So, you know, I like Exchange as well here.
If you're just tuning in, show about money, Hi-Fi Radio. I am Wolfgang Klein along with my partner, Jack Hartle. We are money managers, and, well, we tend to the money of about 300 Canadian families. Happy to help you out if you have any questions. Never hesitate to reach out to Jack or I, wolfgangklein.com. The Wolf on Bay Street.com is how you can find us. We are spending some time this evening with Matthew Lee. He's an analyst, covers airlines, transports, industrials, a little bit of internet gaming as well. That's an interesting group to throw onto your desk. Sign the times, eh? Less pay, more work, Matt? I hope so. Stay tuned. We're going to get back with Matt right here on Hi-Fi Radio 640 Toronto.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Hi-Fi Radio in a moment on 640 Toronto.
Welcome back. Hi-Fi Radio. It's Saturday night. I'm going to spend some time with you talking money. Would you like more of it? No. You got to work, you got to save, and you got to invest. Yep. Work, save, invest. You get to control how much you contribute into the marketplace. You also get to control how much money you spend as you exit the marketplace. But that's basically, you know, you're doing. That's what you get to control. How much goes in and how much goes out. And if you commit to a good long-term program of quality and you keep putting money in, you'll have more than enough on the way out. But it's so, so important. Manage the things that you can control. And use history as a guide as to what to expect. And history is such, stocks outperform bonds 2-1. Over time. That said, bonds have been knocked down hard for 3 years. And really, anything with a lot of debt has been hurt. Personally, I don't mean me, but I mean with, you know, some of you friends at home are witnessing it. As your mortgage are coming due, you're feeling the pinch from 2% interest rate to 6% and 7% interest. Same goes for companies as well. And that's where when you're investing in the world, balance sheets do matter. Assets and liabilities. You have to make sure that there's lots of assets covering hopefully very few liabilities. And it's amazing. People tend to comb balance sheets at the wrong time, i.e. when it's sort of too late. You want to look at the balance sheet before you enter a stock. Airlines is a sector that I always go back to that tend to get themselves into too much debt, too much lease agreement. Yes, interest rates indeed affect so many things. From an investment point of view, you want to make sure that you're buying good quality businesses that have rising sales, rising earnings, and a very manageable, ideally under-levered balance sheet. Airlines are notorious for having too much debt. Airlines also take many of their obligations and put them off balance sheet, notably lease agreements. Is that still the case, Matthew, whereby these obligations like leases on airplanes are in fact not viewed on balance sheets?
No, you know, when we think about leases, we actually add them back now thanks to IFRS. So when you think about a name like Air Canada, with their debt levels where it is, it's actually built into that number.
So that's good. So now you're able to see those off balance sheet items are back on balance sheet. The world of accounting just continues to change and evolve, doesn't it? Certainly changes the landscape, but hopefully for the better. So in terms of the airline sector, the balance sheets today with current interest rates, does it cause you concern?
You know, not really. I think that the airline industry overall has done a very good job of, you know, looking at the cash flow they've created over the last couple of years and then putting it to reducing debt. When you think about a name like Air Canada, you know, they produced, you know, some odds of probably $2 billion of free cash flow in the last year. That's all gone to reduce leverage. So if you look at leverage right now, it's in a far better position than it was last year, and especially during COVID.
Right. Another name that looks a lot better in the space is Boeing. I know you don't cover Boeing, but a good friend of mine said, he made a really good point. This was JJ, Jack. You'll like this. JJ said to me, he said, Wolf, I try to use one of those convex mirrors. You know those mirrors in parking lots that allow you to see around the corner? So you find items that act as a convex mirror that give you clues as to what's around the corner. Boeing firming up. They obviously make planes. It's obviously based on orders and deliveries. Does that speak to better days ahead for the airline sector?
I mean, it's tough to say. I would say, you know, as an overarching kind of comment, anything that's related to the airline benefits with greater global travel. So, you know, a name that has global exposure to travel in the context of where we're going in the next probably 5 to 10 years, you know, has positive probably GDP plus growth.
But then I flip it around. Another name you do follow is CAE, and that's trending in the wrong direction. So again, CAE Friends is a Canadian company, and they offer flight simulation services to pilots as they have to train and retrain on different and new airlines. Why is that stock got a bit of a down arrow on it?
I mean, you know, CAE is a kind of interesting story. It's kind of a two-parter here. On one hand, they have a civil aviation business, which has simulators for big airlines. That business has been tremendous. EBIT growth, you know, continuous volume increases, new training facilities around the world. So, you know, in our view, that's kind of a gem business. They have a fundamental monopoly almost globally on that business. So, you know, they control share, and it's a very attractive, high cash flow business.
It sounds like you're at an airport, Matt. It really does. It sounds like you're just about to board a plane, although you're not. You're actually in the middle of a, I guess, fire drill where you are. So, look, Matt, we're going to let you go. I do want to thank you for your time. Good overview on Air Canada and CAE Cargojet. Next time we'll chat Chorus Aviation, a little regional carrier in Canada. Have a great weekend, Matt. We are going to pivot over to a good friend of ours, Mr. Michael Hainsworth. I think he has a bit of a bone to pick with Elon. I like Elon. Hainsey, not so much. Again, it's all about business. It's a show about money. Sci-Fi Radio. Jack and I bring this show to you each and every Saturday right here on 640. Do tell your friends if you want them to have more money. Although we do hate it when our friends become successful. But you know something? Turn the other cheek and help others have. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Hi-Fi Radio in a moment on 640 Toronto.
Well, I remember every little thing as if it happened only yesterday.
Welcome back.
Walking by the lake and there was not another car inside.
My friends, great tune, isn't it? I may have mentioned this last week. Watched a great documentary on Netflix, I guess. Maybe Prime. I'm not sure which one it was. Probably Netflix. On the making of Bat Out of Hell. They had a heck of a time getting a record label to buy that record. Every label thought they were just didn't work. 35 million copies sold later. Just a piece of art. Truly, truly is. Yep. Paradise by the Dashboard Light. Mr. Michael Hainsworth. Contributing editor, IDC, and host of Where's My Jetpack? How are you, my friend?
I'm not too bad. I've been better. I'm a little disappointed that I'm going to have to rebuild my Twitter following on Zuckerberg's version of it called Meta. You know, for every person I've got following me on the new site, I had 13 following me on the last one, and it's such an uphill battle.
Why is that? I don't understand. Didn't they just pour it over when he changed the name to X?
No, not at all. The issue is that I'm not using Twitter the way I used to use Twitter. And by the way, I'm still insisting we call it Twitter. I still call it Skydome.
I call it Skydome. I call it Maple Rogers, Leaf Gardens.
Suck a lemon. Exactly.
But we're dating ourselves Twitter. Doing so. You know, there is a risk to it, Michael. We're dating ourselves. I date myself with my musical tastes. How about, just for fun, Taylor Swift worth $1 billion? Do you get that? I don't get it.
Listen,
I'm confused. That one confuses me.
Long-term hearing damage from sitting through that three-hour movie of her concert with my Swiftie daughter. Great daddy-daughter bonding experience, but now as I lie in bed at night, I hear this low rumble that sounds like a diesel electric locomotive idling a block away.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, that's powerful. Wow. So I like Elon Musk. I really do. I think I'm so pleased to be living in a time when we have a person like that, Steve Jobs, Thomas Edison, Bill Gates, Elon Musk. They're good people.
There's only one that I agree with you on that, by the way, and that's Bill Gates. And I had a long time coming around on Bill Gates. But all the rest were garbage can kickers and charlatans.
Whoa, come on. So what's your beef with Musk?
Well, I've got a whole bunch of them, you know, not the least of which, from an investor perspective, which is a conversation that I'm sure we're having here, is you think about the key risks associated with being associated with this man. You know, sure, we're seeing a huge increase in the shares of Tesla over the last, you know, year or so. It's up, what, 39%, 218 since over the last 5 years. It's trading 78 times earnings. That's a meme stock. That's not an investment. That's a risk. And with risk, you have to focus on what those risks are. First of all, the stock's too expensive. The tax breaks for Tesla automobiles have just been cut in half. They're seeing increased competition from Volkswagen, which will be the world's number one EV company behind the Chinese.
You think so?
2024.
Yeah, Volkswagen? 100%. Really? Wow.
Volkswagen, Ford, GM, all nipping at their
heels. No, Ford, GM, done. I think done. Jack thinks
done. I agree with you, Wolf, 100%.
But what do you think about Volkswagen, Jack?
I don't know about Volkswagen, but Ford, GM, the traditional North American automakers,
done.
Trading at 10 times earnings, that tells me
Excuse
all
me, I need
to know. Maybe
six times earnings. Yeah. They're cheap. They're so cheap, Michael. And what about the concept car? What's it called? The Tesla, what's the truck called?
The Cybertruck.
That thing's pretty cool, except they won't make money on it. But it's cool.
It's not good branding.
No, no money.
Musk himself admitted that the company dug its grave by launching the product. Kids are going to be throwing rocks at the thing from the side of the road. Sure,
yeah,
you're going to have Joe Rogan shooting arrows at the thing and, you know, not being able to pierce the skin.
Yeah, but you'll scratch the paint for sure. You'll scratch the paint. I wouldn't be happy.
Have you ever dinged your refrigerator, your nice aluminum?
The worst. You have to live with it forever. The worst.
You're never going to fix
Drive you crazy. You walk by that every morning, you see that ding, and it's not you. It's always someone else who did it. You won't let them down. It got a bit of clout. Again, I go back to my good friends. It's very frightening when, and you just know something is late and long in the tooth when you get all these tertiary players getting a lot of valuation. Again, I'm going to go back to, it's not tertiary per se, but I just don't think it has it, Jack, and that's Rivian. Rivian apparently makes like one of the coolest electric trucks out there. I would just stay away. You don't need to go down the food chain. If you want EV, you got to start with the top of the food chain. I'm going to still say it's Tesla.
Although I agree with you, Wolf. So in terms of EV, Tesla is vertically integrated. You know that for sure. So the EV leader. And it's also an energy transition company that's going to lead, I would expect, for the next at least decade or more.
Is it a tech stock? Is it a power stock? Is it a transport stock?
I don't know. Stock.
It's definitely not a meme stock, Michael Hainsworth. Come
100%.
On.
100%. And really? I'll tell you, the legal exposure that Tesla has on the lies that Musk has made about full self-driving will be absolutely phenomenal for this company. The people behind the scenes have flat out admitted that it is essentially a public experiment on hardware and software at this point. California is even considering banning these types of vehicles from the road because they're killing kids.
Okay, So what was our analogy? No, but here's a funny analogy because when people began driving cars, before there was no cars, there was no car accidents. And when you start to get people driving cars, you began to see car accidents. And guess what? Do you remember the 50s? Mom and Dad, maybe with a little pop beside them that wasn't necessarily pop on its own, driving cars. Do you remember the 50s, the way people used to drive in the 50s and 60s and 70s in Toronto?
Yep.
I'm telling you. It was unbelievable.
No car seats, no seatbelts.
What's that?
No car seats, no seatbelts.
Four in the front, five in the back. Yeah. Windows rolled up and people smoking.
You had to drag the automotive industry into using seatbelts in the first place. And when seatbelts were first brought in, they were brought in as options back to Volkswagen. Volkswagen was the inventor of the seatbelt as we know it today, and they made it available for the public at large for free. Whereas American automakers made you pay for that as an option until we had regulators step in.
Michael,
and we need regulators to step in again on full self-driving. These are vehicles that will break out of nowhere for no real reason, leading to accidents. We need to rethink the whole concept of full self-driving on public roads until they're more viable.
You know, what's amazing is airplanes are self-driving, both and especially landing. All of the landing of that aircraft is done by machine, not pilot. His hands are just...
Right.
It's remarkable. It truly is. Unless you get into a Category 3 storm, the pilot must then land the plane on its own. But push a button and it's all done. No, but Michael, you know what's amazing? You know, I want to move forward here because I want to throw something at you. You'll like this. Canada has... What's our major industry in Canada, Michael and Jack? What's the most biggest industry we have here in Canada?
Automotive or energy.
Energy. Yeah. Bingo. And what does the world think about fossil energy? Not so much. And Canada saying, yeah, we're with you, planet. We don't think we should produce oil either. So oil has become bad. Our strongest, biggest, most profitable industry has become bad. And living now in Toronto, combustible motors are bad. They don't want cars in the downtown core. And land development told us that now, that he can actually build condos without parking spaces. That was once mandated. They had parking spaces for each unit sold. So the city doesn't want cars, specifically combustible cars. And, well, I guess they maybe tolerate EVs. So they're throwing in more bike lanes and enjoying them for the next 6 months in this wonderful weather. No bikes on those lanes, but half the road gone. It's becoming an issue, Michael. So you got policy that's directing us away from vehicles. You got technology and so much enthusiasm around electric vehicles and self-driving vehicles. And then you have this oil industry that continues, but Canada doesn't want to participate. What do you make of all that, Michael? Can you connect? Can you triangulate all that?
Absolutely, 100%. The reality is you're correct. The city of Toronto is doing everything in its power to make it as difficult as possible to drive in the city. And there's a reason for that. The only way to reduce congestion is to reduce the incentive to drive in the first place. I was a member of a community group focused on reducing traffic in my neighborhood, and I had done a remarkable amount of research on this topic. And adding more lanes doesn't reduce traffic. Vehicles just fill up all those additional lanes. You need to engage in measures that reduce people's incentive to drive. And the only way to effectively reduce people's incentive to drive is to give them other options. Bike lanes are only one option. The real significant solution is transit.
Yeah.
The problem this city has is it does not invest in transit the way it should.
You're right.
Therefore, we're trying to get people to not use cars, but we're not giving them viable alternatives.
Good point,
That's
Michael.
That's where we're falling.
Uh-huh. No, I really like that. See, Europe gets it. Europe gets electric vehicles, they get electric boats, they get solar, but they also have a milder climate, and they have smaller cities, smaller homes, and people live closer to place of work. That's not the way we are conditioned in North America. I think the closest commute for most people who come to downtown Toronto is 30 kilometers. That's a close commute, or 20 kilometers. Jack, how many kilometers is it for you to get to work?
Let's say it's probably 40.
You're 40 kilometers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? No.
Which is not, you know what, it's not bad when it's on the train, to Michael's point, but go down the DVP. You're attacking on at least
an hour.
Half hour, 45 minutes.
You know, you can't do the DVP. But anyways, it's some crazy things going on. But again, this is Canada. It's a cold climate. It's a big country. Do we have to be on top of one another? I don't know. Anyways, we're talking with Michael Hainsworth. It's a real privilege and pleasure, formerly of BNN, business broadcaster. He's now a contributing editor and host of Where's My Jetpack. He also does a lot of corporate speaking, emceeing, very diversified talented man that's spending some time with us. Commercial break, get right back to Hi-Fi Radio with Michael Hainsworth, Jack Hartle, and of course myself. And please, any questions for Jack or I, wolfgangklein.com. Stay tuned.
Want to make more money? Stay tuned for more Hi-Fi Radio on 640 Toronto.
Here we go. Looking for my post. That's a tough one for me. Like, when can I come in over Taylor Swift? The billionaire. A billionaire.
Person of the year, Wolf.
Person of the year. Was it Time Magazine?
Yeah.
Wow.
2023.
You got to respect the Bilski. You got to respect it. You know, right? Who am I to say? My daughter, very, very keen on seeing her. Doesn't have tickets yet. Michael, You spent 3 hours, Sky, was it the ACC?
I knew nothing about Taylor Swift before my daughter took me to see the Taylor Swift 3-hour-long movie. And I was absolutely fascinated by the entire experience. The woman is a brilliant show person. She knows her audience. The fascinating little things, like my daughter would stay up on TikTok watching people live streaming who were actually at the concerts, because it would be things like, well, she's re-recording all of her music so that she can own it again. And we think that the next album is going to be this album, because at this point in the concert, she came out wearing a dress that was this color, which is the color of that album. And just the social media frenzy that envelops that is absolutely remarkable. All of her dancers were wearing rings that were green, so that means that this album, like, just, oh my goodness, the thought that goes into the promotion of her as a tour de force is absolutely remarkable. And, you know, the incels on the internet, Twitter specifically, are going crazy about her being named Time's Person of the Year. They can't seem to handle the idea of a strong woman who's in control of her own identity. It's been absolutely remarkable to see what she's done for the confidence and the power of my own daughter.
Hey, do me a favor, when you see your daughter, ask her if she uses Elf Beauty product. My daughter loves the product, Elf Beauty. Interesting stock. Your daughter does. So that's got a bit of a pop. Does. And my daughter also says, "Daddy, Lululemon. It's a staple. It's of the highest quality." That's a trickier stock too. Stretchy pants frighten me, believe it or not. Now look at the stock. Looks like a bit of a stretchy pants stock, but, you know, up and down. But it is breaking out. Is your daughter keen on Lululemon as well?
Not so much a Lululemon girl. She's not the Ugg boots and a Starbucks coffee type of kid. But she certainly has her things that she likes, and a lot of it is because of direct exposure from Taylor Swift.
So, again, you don't like Musk so much. What about TikTok, Chinese-owned social media?
It's pretty questionable.
Eavesdropping in on you? My wife, by the way, believes our cell phones are eavesdropping us. They can actually hear us speak. Do you buy into that one?
No. Your wife is the kind of person that drives me crazy. The type of person who looks at their phone and says, "My phone hates me." No, it doesn't hate you. The problem is the operator, not the device. But on the TikTok thing, I understand the very significant reservations associated with TikTok as a privacy issue for the public at large, but also from a government use perspective. And the primary reason is that built into China's government's policy is that if you are a Chinese company and the spies come knocking, you have to do what you're told. And if the spies want to spy on some particular politician's device, then TikTok has no choice but to comply with that. Hmm. It's easy to argue that, you know, you might see the same thing out of Twitter in the United States or Meta with Mark Zuckerberg, but it's built into the way that country operates. So the apprehension about TikTok as a security issue is very well founded.
That's very, very powerful, Michael. Last week, if you get a chance, Michael, listen to our show last week. We had an intuition expert on. And if you don't know what an intuition expert is, I guess the phrase I would use is a psychic. Lynn Nichols joined us. I think it was actually the interview of the year, and certainly very much resonates with females. Lynn's clientele is 99% women. My belief is women are smarter than men and have at least a little bit more open-mindedness, if nothing else, more open-minded than men. Asked Lynn about a whole lot of products and services and trends, including the obesity drug category, which she thinks is going to get stronger than weaker. And apparently it's easy to get the generics to market too. So you will see generics coming to market in that category as well. But specifically to you, Michael, I asked her about Microsoft and artificial intelligence, and she said it's going to be a very dynamic year next year in the category of AI. Where are you at right now with the AI movement?
I am completely in favor. I, for one, welcome our new robot overlords.
Michael, pause. When you throw a statement like that, you got to pause and let the audience digest it. What do you call them? Please repeat that phrase.
I, for one, welcome our new robot overlords.
Overlords. Wow.
Right.
That's cool.
And I'm being facetious, and it's a Simpsons quote for those who are familiar. But the ultimate upshot is that artificial intelligence is not going to replace you unless you are unwilling to incorporate artificial intelligence into your work
life. That's good.
So that's what it ultimately comes down to. And for example, I'm using artificial intelligence every day in my job now. It started off as, let's see if this is something that is a useful tool, and it's now become part of my day-to-day life. I use it for two primary purposes. One, I do a lot of interviews with people who don't have a beautiful production studio like I do and a high-end microphone. So I take the audio from their crappy little webcam, drag it into Adobe Podcast Enhance, and I swear to God, you could not tell the difference between my $1,000 microphone in my dozens of thousands of dollars studio and their little Logitech microphone sitting on top of their computer. It's absolutely remarkable. Hmm. And then after that podcast episode is finished, I will drag the transcript of it into ChatGPT, and I will get it to give me a summary of that. And
well, that's nice. That's quick.
But what I don't do is copy and paste and then send it off to the client. I copy and paste it into a Word document, and then I rewrite it.
And you, I see.
I edit it.
That's good,
just
Michael.
Like I edited everything that was ever put on a teleprompter when I worked in TV. I will edit that, and then I paste it back into ChatGPT and say, compare what you wrote to what I wrote. And next time, write it more like
good
this.
Then it begins to learn your style of writing.
It's exactly what I'm doing. I'm training ChatGPT how to be like me.
Wow.
Right now, it's not very much like me. And it sounds a little bit more like Stephen Colbert.
My buddy Santiago, one of our producers, is nodding his head like a bobble doll right now, getting into what you're saying here, pal.
Yeah, this is one of the aspects of the future of incorporating AI into what you do. So instead of spending 30 minutes at writing, rewriting, because that's the key to writing. Good writing requires rewriting.
Edit.
30 minutes.
So important.
Exactly. Instead of taking that and spending 30 minutes to an hour doing it, I'm spending 10 to 15 minutes. I've doubled my productivity. I've tripled my productivity because I'm leveraging what is already me to apply to what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis.
Very, very good, Michael. In terms of the FANG complex, Michael, I just want to throw out what I think some of these smarts on Bain Wall Street are pondering right now. The FANG complex being the mega 10 or Fantastic 10, whatever you want, the Facebook,
the magnificent,
Netflix, Google, Apple, Nvidia. They led the charge this year, truly did. And if you didn't have a few of those in your portfolio, you greatly lagged the poor performance of the market. Perhaps we get some rotation next year, money out of the FANG complex and into other areas of the market. And what we're seeing right now is anything that's interest sensitive is getting a nice bit of a bid in it as interest rates have stabilized and are weakening. I want to throw that concept over to you, Michael. Are you noticing any type of market rotation? Again, I'm the market guy, not you, but you're a very, very smart man. I know you watch everything that's taking place in the world. What are your viewpoints as we head into next year?
I will tell you this. The biggest increase in interest rates in 22 years has come to an end. In 2024, we're going to start to see the overnight lending rate get pulled back as our economy slows. And what that means is there's going to be more money in the pockets of people like me who have a variable rate mortgage. My variable rate mortgage has spiked so much, it's cut literally $1,500 a month out of my disposable income over the last 2 years.
That's a lot of money.
It's an insane amount of money that isn't going into the economy, that's instead going into the bank's pocketbooks. Once that money starts going back into my pocket, I can distribute it back into the economy in ways that I haven't over the course of the last 2 years. And so I would be curious to see what happens with companies that are so very sensitive to consumer spending and how they'll perform over the course of the next 12 months to 24 months, as we see the overnight lending rate go from 5%, as the CD Howe Institute is predicting, down to 4%, or, according to some on the Monetary Policy Council, 3.5%.
Yeah, and again, $1,500 a month increase in your mortgage payment or interest payment is very, very significant. You know, usually banks don't adjust your monthly payment upward. They just add to the amortization schedule on the piece of debt. I did catch in the elevator news today, food prices remain sticky. You can expect the average household next year to spend $700 per year more on food. $700 a year versus $1,500 a month. Hey, food gets all the attention. The attention needs to be over here on interest rates, because that's the real pinch on your pocketbook. Michael Hainsworth, that was a lot of fun. It's always a pleasure to spend time with my good friend. It is.
Thank you.
Have yourself a great weekend and a great Christmas, and pass on my best to your daughter. Our daughters should meet one day. I think they get along real well. Friends,
hey, the Swifties do.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, I respect her billionaire status. Anyways, Chase producer Jack Hartle did a great job getting the show lined up for today. Santiago, of course, working the board, digging in Hainsworth's intellect when it comes to how to use ChatGPT and technology. Yes, embrace it, my good friends. Embrace it. Don't resist it. Charles, what is it? I'm falling apart here. Charles Darwin, survival of the fittest, right? He who can adapt will survive, and he who doesn't adapt will perish. Please, my friends, adapt, adapt, adapt. Education, try different things, take a chance, and along the way, work, save, invest, repeat. And once it gets time to retirement, redo your plan and work on a exit strategy, a consumption strategy. You control how much you put in, you then control how much you take out. And if you do the front end properly, the back end will become so much easier. There's wisdom in that statement, but I'm out of time. Next week, we'll carry it on. Have a great weekend. Thank you for spending some time with Jack and I, Wolfgang Klein, portfolio manager, here for you. Any questions, WolfgangKlein.com. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
You've been listening to Hi-Fi Radio with Wolfgang Klein and Jack Hartill, portfolio managers at Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management. For questions about today's show or any questions about money, email wolfandjack@wolfgangklein.com. Hi-Fi Radio, for the love of money. Join us again next week.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.